listeners want to know all they can about their favorite team.
Play action, fake mock, plenty of time, rainbow, seam pattern, white, touchdown Missouri.
If you want to know who's trending up and who's trending down in college football's Premier League, your wait is over.
Sweep left side, that's Williams inside the five. Jay Will at the goal line, touchdown Arkansas. Williams from 6 yards out, and the Razorbacks are an extra point away from tying this one up.
It's time to get the scoop on what's happening in the Southeastern Conference with ESPN's SEC blogger extraordinaire, Edward Eschoff.
Right up the middle, he might go 10-5. He is in for the score.
I gotta testify. Come up in the spot looking.
All right, at some point we're gonna talk about football, but I want to start with Edward Eschoff as we welcome him in on the Stickies Rock and Roll Chicken Shack Hotline. Hi, Edward.
Going on?
You were up early tweeting this morning, my friend. Or maybe your cat had gotten a hold of your phone. One of the two.
I was up earlier than that tweet went up.
Buddy, amazing. Yeah, it's like, what a circus, this coaching search thing, huh?
Yeah.
So early, what's
I might
sorry,
not go to bed early, but I'm early to rise.
There you go.
Rising,
you know what? You at least you're, I don't know if you're wealthy, but you're certainly healthy and wise. You got that going for you.
Not wealthy. Definitely
okay.
Not wealthy.
Well, it's all coming, my friend. your buddy Chris Lowe over there apparently reconfirmed something we assumed was a foregone conclusion, that being that Brett Bielema was going to stay put and not go to Nebraska, despite the fact that his buyout is pretty paltry by comparison to some others. So you feel pretty confident in that? You think this is a smokescreen, or you think he's actually going to stay put?
I think he stays put. I heard the Nebraska rumors early this week, a little late last week. And I was just, the thought that he would go back to the Big Ten, I never was convinced about that. I think he understands what he has in the SEC. I think he does know that it's much tougher to win the division, the SEC West division, than it is to win in one of the Big Ten divisions. But I think that he knows that with the way that his team improved down the stretch, if he can get some playmakers on offense, and if he can get some more discipline on defense, they're going to be a heck of a team to stop next year. And, you know, they return so many starters from both sides, excuse me, that I think that they're certainly going to be a force to challenge for that SEC West. I don't think that they're just going to be kind of like LSU was this year. I think they're going to be a legitimate 1-2-3 team in the SEC to start the season. Now, if Auburn gets Will Muschamp as defensive coordinator, all bets are off, because Auburn right there becomes your favorite, because they're going to have a great offense, the best defensive mind in the SEC running things. But I do think Arkansas is that talented to make a run if they can get some development at wide receiver and certainly quarterback. I mean, Brandon Allen, I know he was hurt, but there's got to be an instance where you look and you say, you know, we've got to have something better out there if he's not even 75%, and he certainly wasn't against Missouri. But I think those are the two areas that they have to shore up going into next season if they really want to contend for the SEC West. And you know Brett Bielema, he's come too far in 2 years to just say, all right, let's try something new. He's got the pieces in place to make a little run.
I hope that's true. Edward Eschoff joining us.
Got to give it a shot, right? See what you can do.
Well, yeah, beats just laying down and playing dead.
Got to get a quarterback. Got to have, and whether that's Brandon Allen or someone else, you've got to have better play at the quarterback position. I don't care if you're a run team. Look at Florida. I mean, they have two adequate running backs there and couldn't do anything because they have no quarterback. Brandon Allen, he's just struggled so much. He's so inconsistent. I know that he can get better, but there's got to be better development there.
I think that's probably true. What I said earlier in the week was if he can improve half as much as he did from last year to this year, he's going to be in pretty good shape, I think, as long as they can get him some help at receiver. And, you know, they had JoJo Robinson sitting on the bench. We assume he's going to be a playmaker for them, and that's what they've really missed is a field stretch guy. So we'll see if they can
– Exactly.
Either bring somebody in, or maybe the guy's already on campus. We'll
you know,
find it's, out.
I had high hopes for Colas Marshall. And without him, just the kind of talent.
You should
that
phrase
he
that
had.
Differently.
expectations were
serious. I had real expectations.
Yes,
for him. Yes,
yes,
I did
yes,
too.
Yes.
That is a sad story. And Coach Bielema said a few weeks ago, kind of foreshadowing, it's going to be one of the saddest stories I've ever dealt with. You know, mm-hmm. Most disappointing situations. But there you go. So we'll see what happens. But nevertheless, okay. So. Around the league, looks like McElwain is officially going to be the Florida guy. I'm almost more interested in what's going to happen with these DCs, and you talked about Auburn already, but Auburn and A&M with openings. Got a couple of high-profile defensive minds in Muschamp and Bo Pelini, who could come back to the SEC potentially. I don't know if his name's been mentioned for one of those openings, but it would seem to me that those guys would be, you know, good fits at either or if you're a head coach at those places.
Maybe Jim McElwain's first call is to Bo Pelini. He says, hey, you know, take a couple of years off, come run this defense, help me recruit here in Florida, get some big guys for the next guy to come in, or one of the staff members to be groomed to be that defensive coordinator. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't see that happening one bit. But, hey, weirder things have happened. Charlie Weiss was the offensive coordinator of Florida a few years ago, so who knows what they'll do there. But I do think that Will Muschamp is going to be the highest-profile assistant out there. And he's on vacation now. He said, you know what? I've got offers. I'm going to hang out with my family. I'm going to chill. I'm going to see what happens. Because Texas A&M is open. Auburn is open. I mean, who knows what's going to happen with South Carolina? They had one of the worst defenses in the SEC last year. Steve Spurrier clearly was not happy with what his defensive coaches were doing. So yeah. If that comes open, I'm certain that Will Muschamp will listen. He loves Steve Spurrier. The question then is, are you grooming the next defensive coordinator to be the head coach? Who knows? But I do think that you'll probably hear Bo Pelini's name just because why not reach out to him? But I would be shocked if he wasn't a coach somewhere. I mean, I don't see him taking any time off. I don't know what his perspective in the NFL would be, but he's got to land a job somewhere, whether it's at a small school as a head coach again or, you know, maybe do what Will Muschamp is doing, take a couple of years to be a coordinator.
Yeah, we say this about players more than coaches, but Bo Pelini's got a hot motor, baby, and he's got to let that motor run. I mean, if he just sits around stewing in his man cave, he's going to go nuts. You might just hear about a house exploding. That was Bo Pelini in his man cave. He can't go sit around all season. He needs something to have an outlet for all that intensity and anger.
Yeah, and what's this fake Twitter profile going to do? What's Bo Pelini going to do if
I don't know.
He sits out the year? It'll probably be pretty entertaining, but he's way more entertaining than Bo Pelini.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. You know, and the other thing is, I always think it's intriguing, and if I'm a coach and I get shunned or kicked to the curb by a team, if I get a chance to stick it to them, it's pretty intriguing. So Will Muschamp got courted by South Carolina or one of the other teams that have an opening, so Auburn maybe even. The opportunity to go and beat Florida after they just, you know, basically said sayonara would be pretty intriguing to me. Same deal with Pelini. If Michigan gets a head coach that needs a DC and they say, hey, there's a guy down the road, pretty good defensive coach. Maybe wasn't a great head coach, although somebody would argue he's a pretty good head coach too. I got to think that would be intriguing for him as well. So, but he's got ties to both, so we'll see what happens there. All right, let's talk some actual football now. The old Kent State teammates going head-to-head this weekend in the SEC championship game, Missouri, Alabama, and Alabama is expected to crush Missouri. Can you give me any compelling reason why they won't?
They have the best defensive line in the SEC. I think that the fact that Shane Ray and Marcus Golden are playing statistically better than Tony Ealy and Michael Sam did at this point last year tells you that Alabama's not out of the woods. I picked Alabama by 2 touchdowns in this game because I think that they just have more talent on both sides. But I don't think Missouri is a team that is going to be absolutely destroyed. I think that they have the most resiliency of being a college football team in a while. Actually, since that Florida team in 2012, but they actually have a pulse on offense, Missouri does. I think that the problems that they're going to have is Matty Mock is just too inconsistent. He's too erratic. And against a defense as disciplined as Alabama, I know what happened against Auburn, but that's not going to be the same case against Missouri. They don't run the ball up the middle as well as Auburn can. Mm-hmm. My case for Missouri would be if Bud Satcher can make some big plays from Matty Mock's arm, that's really going to help him because this defense is susceptible to the big pass. And that defensive line forcing Blake Sims to turn the ball over. Cam Robinson, their amazing left tackle, who is a true freshman who looks like he's a 28-year-old NFL stud right now, is still hobbled. He's not 100%, and Shane Ray and Marcus Golden are going to make his life miserable if he can't move around as well as he has or as he had when he was 100%. That could be an issue, but Blake Sims' legs are certainly going to help him. And I think Alabama runs it up the gut a lot and just wears down that line.
How about, I mean, six games this year, Alabama, 6 of their 11 games, they've scored 40 points or more. And last week they score 55 and win by only 11. It is good, I think, for them that they don't have to just shut you down defensively to knock you off. I mean, they can outscore you, and that's not something we have always said about Alabama. That's what makes them, to me, so dangerous now. It's not because they're so dominant defensively. It's because they can run it up on you.
he must have been reading my column from earlier in this week when I said that Alabama proved that it can win a shootout. And if it has to go in a shootout mode against Missouri, I think it's better equipped. And if it has to play an offense similar to Auburn's in the playoff, it's better equipped now. To win a game like that, especially at the end of the season, I think speaks volumes of obviously what Lane Kiffin has done as an incredible offensive coordinator. And the fact that they've developed kind of a game plan there on offense. And, you know, the defense wasn't great, but they forced four field goals in that game. Imagine if those were touchdowns, it'd be a different story. So I think that was the exact thing that needed to happen to Alabama at this point in the season going into the playoff.
It is hard to believe now that we are at that point, and it's just about over, and I'm deeply saddened by this. When we have Edward on next week, we'll be talking about bowl game assignments. Yeah. We've been bandying about a lot of options for Arkansas, and I think it is realistic to say they have four or five or six potential bowl assignments. And we don't know where they're going to go. So your best educated guess, Edward, what's the talk in the office at ESPN.com's SEC blog as far as where Arkansas might end up and what makes the most sense for them in the bowl?
You know, I knew this question was coming, and I did not prepare myself as well as I should have because I did talk about Arkansas with Mark Schlabaugh when we were going over the bowl projections. He seems to think that they would go to the Independence Bowl. I think they'd be better. I think the Liberty Bowl is certainly a possibility. We'll see what happens with Tennessee. You know, the New Orleans Bowl, people have talked about if it comes down to that. I don't really know right now. And one reason I don't know is because a lot's going to determine on what happens this weekend. And if Alabama wins, you know, I think it's pretty straightforward. But if Missouri wins, it shakes things up. And even if Alabama wins, if they win by enough that Missouri gets knocked down, that's going to boost Ole Miss up. I think that Mississippi State is probably in that Cotton Bowl to Peach Bowl range. And that's going to kind of shake up everything there toward the bottom. So I wouldn't be surprised at the Liberty Bowl. I think right now that's probably the main spot. That's going to depend, though, on Tennessee, I think. I wouldn't think that they would go to the Independence. I think that's where Florida's going to end up. The Belk Bowl, I think, is where South Carolina goes. So the thing for me with Arkansas is they're such a hot team that it wouldn't surprise me if they went higher than some of these other schools. If they went higher than South Carolina, certainly Florida. I don't think they'll go higher than Texas A&M because they lost. But Tennessee, I mean, those are Tennessee, Florida, and South Carolina are three teams I think they could go above. But who knows? I mean, it's all about bringing fans, and that's what's going to determine it all at the end. And honestly, I mean, I'm totally for real when I say this. I would, if I were on a board of one of those January Florida Bowls, I would throw it out there and just say, hey, imagine what we could bring if we brought Arkansas here. And that's probably reaching because of their record, but they're fun to watch. I mean, they're a fun team to watch. Brandon Allen, you know, what's really the injury there? You know, what's he going to look like? I'm sure would weigh on it, but man, I don't think they're not going to go to the Outback Bowl. They're not going to go to the Tax Bowl. They're not going to go to any of those bowls. But I would at least raise my hand and say, listen, you get Brett Bielema for a week. You get an Arkansas team that is really not – they're playing just for respect at this point. They're playing to have fun, I think, more than any other team in the SEC. I just think they're a fun team. That would be my – I would just raise my hand at least.
Hey, I'm in. You know what? Citrus Bowl bound. Let's go Hogs. I'm in.
And that's the thing. As who's a team that no one thought would make it to a bowl game, in the last 2 weeks after they beat Ole Miss, their team just playing. And I think that that's dangerous. I know they lost to Missouri. That was a bad loss. I mean, they should have won that game. But they're still a team that's just like, listen, I mean, what are they going to learn? I mean, what are recruits going to learn from a win or a loss in a bowl game after you beat Ole Miss, the team that just beat Mississippi State? I think they're the only team in the SEC that's just playing to play.
Yeah, I think that's probably true, and I know they're thrilled about the opportunity to practice with their guys and have a little more time on the field with them, so that's a good thing, and they're going to get that regardless of where they go. I would bet money if I was going to bet on Shreveport, but we'll see what shakes out. Certainly there are a lot of options in the mix, and they haven't been there in over 10 years, and, you know, that's close by. It's only a few hours' drive. I think if, you know, Arkansas fans will travel down there for sure.
I know. I get it. I'm riding the coattails of the momentum. I just think that they're a team that people are going to be interested in, but who knows? I mean, Belk Bowl, it's in Carolina, so that makes sense for Carolina. Liberty Bowl makes sense for Tennessee. It's just, I don't know.
I'm with you. Well, what about
the Hogs are better.
Yeah, I guess if Tennessee ends up getting assigned to the Music City, which I don't think is necessarily very likely, that opens the Liberty door. Because, I mean, Tennessee's got to go to one of those two, I would think. So, you know, anyway, we'll see. And again, I think they're excited the same way that Arkansas fans are. They believe in Butch. They had a couple near misses this year. They're on the rise. I mean, I'm really curious to see what their win total is going to be next year. And some of that will be, you know, predicted by or predicated on the what their non-conference looks like. But I think they're coming. So, let me see here. I think we're just about out of time. It kind of stinks we only have one game to talk about.
Yeah, it's not much.
I mean, as far as SEC goes, are you predicting any upsets this weekend in the conference championship games?
Not really. I think everybody takes care of business. Is Ohio State losing to Wisconsin an upset now? They don't have their
no Wisconsin's favorite
quarterback who loves their yeah. All right, so yeah, I think Wisconsin wins. I think I said two touchdowns by Alabama. I think Florida State grinds it out again. I think that they're going to be motivated because they got disrespected. I think Oregon. I think that's the most exciting game. Oregon, Arizona. That's going to be fun to watch.
That will be fun. That's Friday night, so you don't even have to wait till the weekend for that
exactly.
one.
Exactly.
How does Baylor handle Kansas State, or do they?
I wouldn't be surprised if Kansas State won that game, but I think Baylor wins. I think they'll barely win. It'll be a fun game. It'll be a fun game for Big 12 people to watch. I think they barely win it.
If you're right, predictor man, then predict me the Final Four. What's it look like? Give me the 1, 2, 3, 4.
Alabama, Oregon, Florida State. And I think TCU. And I think TCU is a better team anyway. Yeah. And I, halfway through the season, before the playoff rankings even came out, had TCU. Before they lost to Baylor, I had them number 4. And everyone laughed at me. Everyone laughed at me. So I think TCU, I think they're a better team than Baylor. I know.
No one's laughing now, buddy.
Well, when I saw them early in the season, I thought this team is absolutely one of the top 4 or 5 teams in America. Then they lost, and then they had a couple of near misses. They only beat Kansas by a few points. They haven't been as dynamic offensively the last couple of games. I mean, they look like world beaters out of the gate. I'm like, this team would blow Alabama out right now after the first few weeks. Mm-hmm. Then they kind of took a step backwards, and maybe they're hitting their stride again now. We'll find out. But they need to, and they're like a 33-point favorite this week, and they need to win big and really
have
a big.
They need to win 34.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they do need to win by 34. That's exactly right.
I think, Baylor might deserve it head-to-head, but if we're going by best teams, I think TCU's a better team.
That seems to be the recurring thing. We've talked to a lot of people whose opinions we trust, and that seems to be what people are going with, despite the head-to-head issue. Everything else is not equal, they say, and they think TCU is clearly a better team than Baylor.
John had probably the best explanation with those two teams.
Yeah, we were just talking to the play-by-play guy from Iowa State who called a game against Baylor, and then he's going to be at the TCU game this weekend. He thinks TCU is the better team, too, so we'll see.
Well, here you go, real quick. Yeah. Carolina Panthers, San Francisco 49ers last year. Carolina beat San Francisco on the road and then got thrashed by them in the playoffs. So it's kind of like the NFL. Yeah, you lost, but that doesn't make you this much better.
That's true.
As the season goes on. I think TCU is a better team.
I can get with that. That's why I want them to be 8 so they could play again in the postseason if they were to win.
But I want 16 and no bowls.
Hey, can we get through 4?
Okay,
in the first year? Can we just please see how this shakes out?
When's the last time I was satisfied with anything?
I know you guys want more.
Exactly.
Because of gluttons.
I don't want 4. I will be satisfied with 8. I mean, I won't be totally satisfied, but I'll be like, all right, whatever. 8. That's fine.
16, you can live with 8.
I think that's perfect.
All right. Edward, thanks, man. Enjoy your weekend. We'll catch up next week and break down all the bowl games. So you're going to have a lot of work to do before next Thursday.
Sounds good. Don't take too much of my time Thursday. That's my girlfriend's birthday. She won't like that.
Oh, my gosh.
What is she getting you this year?
You know what?
What is she getting you?
It's his girlfriend's birthday, not his birthday.
Oh.
She doesn't buy him stuff for her birthday.
December 24th for all those fans out there.
Oh, really? The Christmas Eve baby little Ed. All right, you know what? We'll get you something nice this year.
He's so special. He came a day before Jesus was born. Hey, that's how special Edward is.
Hey, Edward, email me your home address. I'm going to send you a little Buzz care package, all right?
No, he'll show up at your door. You don't want to do that, Edward.
I wouldn't do that. I'd send Matty T down there. He's like, I brought you some cat litter.
Your cat's not safe.
Hey, I can use it. This cat goes through so much litter. That's probably too much for me.
Okay.
What are you feeding her?
TMI.
All right. We talking cat crap now? What has the show gone to?
Actually, that's the best content we've had in 6 weeks.
Cat crap coming up next.
Exactly. Edward, thanks, man.
All right, talk to you guys later.
Goodbye. I am so going to send him some cat litter for his birthday.
All right, it fascinates me. For those who don't know, Edward Ashoff looks a little bit like Bruno Mars.
He does.
Has a cat, if not, how many does he have?
One cat.
Mm-hmm. That he strokes as he tweets, oh, my pretty little cat.
He's not Dr. Evil. He's a blogger. Will you stop it? He's a good dude, too. I love him. But, yeah, he's a very fastidious guy who owns a cat and lives alone and is a very well-dressed man. Now, that might lead some to believe that he doesn't necessarily have a girlfriend's birthday coming up. But you know what? He's just metrosexual. Don't mind Edward Ashoff. I think if he lived here, he and David Basil would be best friends.
You think?
Yes. Except he's a dog guy, but that's okay. Baz is. What's up, Tide fan Steve?
What's up, guys? Hey, Justin, first off, glad you're back home. And